2000. Those are answers to our prayer. I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures tonight. I'm going to look at Psalm 23. I'm going to look at probably Luke and probably end up in...
Bishop, we can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Test. I'm not talking louder or the volume go off? The sound go off?
Volume is low.
It's low. Probably put yourself down again.
Hmm?
It probably turned the volume down again.
Okay. What we got? Okay, see what we can do here.
Unmute Thomas, Bishop.
No, I've got it muted for a reason. Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, good.
For some reason it turns itself down.
Yeah, well, it works automatically, so when we're singing and praising, it automatically
turns itself
to a
down.
Lower volume, and then we come back, we have to wait until it decides it wants to bring the volume back up again. Okay, thank you. Well, I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank God for all of you. We're going to be for tonight in Psalms 23, as a matter of fact, and then Luke and one scripture in James. I thank God for Moon, for Sean John, for Moon, for everybody else, for Sister Angela Jenkins, for Elder Angela Jenkins, and all the ways that God is moving right now, for moving in promise with our condition and all those. I just thank God for his goodness and his mercy. And the one thing that I'm really... Among other things, he's praying for people in good health. I'm still praying for Elder Angela Rogers to get a miracle. God's a miracle worker.
Yes, he is.
And I'm still praying for things to work out with Elder Smith so she don't have to go through this anymore. And to everybody else who needs a healing and a deliverance and whatever you need. God's a miracle worker. And God
yes,
is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
So I'm looking at all the things that God's doing these days with us here in Promise in the building and those situations with Emmanuel. And certainly with Chandra with this job. And now I'm just waiting for God to start sending people through, and I'm adjusting. What am I adjusting? How to preach the gospel, because the gospel doesn't change, but I am adjusting to people and to the times and to the things we need to say. I was telling Chandra today, once upon a time when people, I was telling Chandra or Don, one of them, once upon a time when people would come and say they were this way or that, whatever, you know, I would go on the offensive. I felt like I had to just defend the gospel, and I would go on the attack. Well, that's not right. You know what? When people come in here now, if they love God, and they say they're saved, I'm going to leave them with it. You know why I'm going to do that?
Yeah.
Bishop Smith, you have to tell them the truth. In time, they'll learn the word of God just like me.
Yeah.
But you won't tell them the truth if they don't stay.
Yes.
And they won't grow in God if they don't stay. And the longer they stay, little by little, I read the scripture the other day. I was reading it the other day, I think I was reading Deuteronomy on one of them. And I'll take you there for a moment. I was looking at, maybe it was Exodus, I'm not sure. It was Exodus. Tuesday night? Yeah. Exodus. Tuesday night. I was teaching about them coming out of Israel, about them coming out of Egypt, and about this angel going before them.
Yes.
And tonight I want to say this, and I'll be short tonight, which is another thing I'm learning to be too with people, especially when they're new, is less said the better. Just give them the word of God. But I do want to say this about the miracles we're seeing and the things with the jobs we're opening, and it's taking some work and taking some prayer. And one of the reasons why God is getting his prayer out of us, I did tell Chandra this. She said that the lady was supposed to call her last week or send her an email earlier in the week or whatever, and I told her God wanted a few more prayers before he gave you the answer.
Yeah.
As we're growing in God, God is not examining. It's not an issue of God deciding whether or not he can do something. It's God looking at us to see if we've grown to the point where he can bless us with it in a greater degree.
Right, yeah.
And he's looking to see how much we're going to glorify him. Are we going to glorify him proportionately with the begging that we did. You know, and then I've been walking around every time it came to my mind. I'm saying, Lord, please give this child this job. Lord, please move for me. Oh, God, please move for promise. You know, and I'm on my knees praying, and even when I'm not, just driving on, when it comes to my mind, I say, oh, God, please do that. Now the Lord wants to know is, are we going to glorify him as much for it? Because when you look at Abraham, when he came out of Egypt, he went back to Bethel and he went before God. He'd been delivered. Yes, he went before. He wasn't praying for deliverance. He was already delivered and rich and went before God. And Abraham also, after Isaac is delivered, goes before God. And Jacob, once he meets Esau, he doesn't go before God immediately. And that seems to be a problem, because when they go in the new land, his sons start acting stupid. And the next thing he has to do, and the God doesn't say to him, stop your sons. He says, you need to go before the altar. Go before God. And he goes before God because God had brought him out from Esau, and so forth, and it goes on. And then you got the lepers that Jesus heals, and nine of them are like a lot of us. We were crying out until the Lord delivered us. And one of them decides, and he glorifies God. It doesn't say he just thanks Jesus. He turns and glorifies God. It says in Luke 17 chapter. And if I get there tonight, I'll show it to you. He turns and glorifies God. But because every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. And what we want God to bless. It's the same job that a sinner has, but we want God to bless it when he gives it to us. So that it serves our purpose and it becomes a blessing to us. And it's not a snare. It's the same healing. But we want God, we want to bless God for it, and we're not going to let anybody else or anything else take the credit for it. Like a long time ago when I came here, I got this assignment to Eglin, and they were saying nobody could figure out how I got it, because I was number 11 on the pecking order, and there were only 11 assignments, and I said, thank God for it. So one day this guy leaned in the room, and he says, hey, you like your assignment? I said, yeah. He said, I did that. I said, well, thank you so much. I'm going to take you to dinner. And I turned around and said to God, because I know you sent him. He might have been what you used, but God
sent him. Yes, right.
God stepped in.
And
I didn't stop telling him, no, you didn't do it. It was God. No, well, thank you so much. You did do it. But it was God that gave me that advantage. And so, you know, you have to be, you know, the Lord has to have the glory that he gets. I want to show you tonight, though, when I was talking about earlier. Look in Exodus 24th chapter, and I made up my mind today, because Ella Reed walks with this lady, and we run into people all the time, and my mind is already set, because God has given it to me. When people start coming into promise again, you know, this hardcore, you must change overnight. I am not going to do. I'm not going to get into this thing of this. That just ain't how we believe. But stay around long enough, you'll find out. You know, because I'm not going to change the gospel.
Right,
but you can hang around for a while.
Yes.
I lost years even in my own experience, because I remember when I came to church in South Dakota. The pastor there was he had to be 41. He was a young man. But I remember people were saying to him, what I need to stop and all those, and he would just say, oh, you got to catch a fish before you scale him, and he'd just keep on going, and we just keep on working it out and keep on going. By the time I left, I was a trustee, and I was in there, and we were working, and my life had changed. But it was because of the gospel. It wasn't because he just stopped and told me, that ain't God. That ain't God. That ain't faith. That ain't God. I'm going to stop arguing with people. If you say you're on your way to heaven, then then you will find out in time. I'm not even saying we will find out, because it's not even important for us to find out per se. It's important for you to know that you're on your way to heaven. And in the process, we will find out. But what's most important is for you to be in heaven. And you very well might be. You might need to just be, you know, trimmed a little bit over here like the rest of us. And a little bit over there, like the rest of us. And maybe you need a little correction here, like the rest of us, and God will get to it in time, and so forth and so on. And maybe this is a little bit off. You know, if you stay around the gospel long enough where the gospel is right, and that's why we stand the word of God,
you stay in the gospel long enough, some of the things that you used to, that you believe that were not God, eventually God will be able to straighten you out of that. Some of the things that you you've done that you've learned that just weren't right before God. We stay in the Word of God. Now, if you're someplace where people like to just mention a little bit of the Word of God, then go off on into their own little and whatever, then you know it's a little bit different. But if you you're someplace where the Word of God is being preached, and so I've decided that from now on, I'm just gonna let the Word turn them around, and I'm gonna let the Spirit turn them around, and I'm not gonna move any faster than Him. And I'm gonna use this scripture in Exodus tonight, and then I really am gonna be through. Is that right? I really am gonna be through. I'm going to really be through. How about that?
Yeah.
God, these grammarians and their words, they make you, you know,
that's right, that's
really
right.
Just, you know, can't say nothing. I want to look at Exodus, the 24th chapter. And this is the same chapter we were in Tuesday night, and we had a Exodus 23. What did I say?
24.
Oh, that's the top. Okay, Exodus 23. We were in this Tuesday night, and I was enjoying it, but tonight I just want to look at a little bit more of it. It's where he says, if you look in 20, we talked about this Tuesday night. Behold, I send my angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place that I have prepared. And Tuesday night we were comparing this because we were saying that this is Dake says this is probably the one that the angel of the Lord refers to, one of the Trinity. And Dake's primarily says it's probably Jesus. And it could be. I suspect, though, it's more the Holy Spirit, because he says, I put my beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not, but he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. And the fact that he says he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him, that lets me know that the same thing as Paul says, the day you hear my voice, the Holy Ghost says, harden not your heart.
Yes.
As in the day of transgression. And so when he says, I will not pardon your transgressions, then it gives me the impression that I'm dealing with the Holy Spirit here and not Jesus. The Holy Spirit is black and white as far as the gospel is concerned. You're either with God or you're not. You're either right before God or you aren't. And then the Spirit determines that. And then when the Spirit says to you, you're wrong, he doesn't take any mitigating facts. He doesn't do anything else. He simply says, you're wrong. Now it's up to you to get to God by going to Jesus, who's the intercessor, and making peace with God. The Spirit identifies that you're out of fellowship. The Spirit does not, and he says this, and he does say to you what you need, and then he gives you what you need to do to get back into fellowship. And that's always straight down the line. You need to go to God and repent. And you need to do so by going through your high priest and your intercessor, Jesus. You need to get to God in the name of Jesus. And a lot of these things we've learned so much. They have become intrinsic in us. They're built into us because we're sanctified. He doesn't have to say to us, you need to go to God in the name of Jesus. He simply says, you need to go to God. We know to go in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And he says, and when you go, this is what you need to say. And he tells us what scriptures go along with it, because the Spirit is like he's like the law. When the Spirit says you're wrong and you're a Holy Ghost filled person and you want to hear the Spirit will do just like the law. The law will say you're wrong according to section such code, whatever. And the Spirit says you're not right because the Bible says, the Word of God says, in this place you need to do this. Or when you are out of sorts because you're your confidence is low and you're discouraged, the Spirit picks up on that immediately if you will listen to him. And he says, your countenance has fallen, and it shouldn't be. And this is what you need to do to get it back. Or he says, right now you're going through a difficult time. That's understandable. This is what you need to do. So in the Old Testament, he sends his angel before them to direct them and guide them in the way. And he tells them to obey him, because if they don't obey him, they will die. He's leading them and he's guiding them. And if you will not obey the Spirit, you might not die physically, but you will die spiritually. So he tells them, his angel is going to go before him, but if thou will indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries. If you will obey God, and in the wilderness, it takes a great amount of power, and I keep going over this over and over again. They have the Holy Spirit as a pillar cloud by day and a pillar fire by night. He's leading and guiding them.
Yes.
Because you have this huge multitude of people who are sinners.
Yeah, yeah.
You have some people who are, and the reason why they're a part of the church that's in the wilderness at all is because they are Abraham's seed.
Yeah.
And among them, you also have the Levites and some people who are really who have the Holy Spirit, whose name is on the roll in heaven, who belong to God and still worship Jehovah God.
Yeah.
And they're leading them out. And these people are going to always be the ministers to the Jews. Matter of fact, they're not even going to be given land to farm and build on because their purpose is to be ministers. And so during this time, in order to keep these people going, saints of God, it's good to see a miracle like a healing. I want to see more of them. I want to see people heal from autism. I don't know what that is, but I just got this yearning to have the power to see people heal from autism in a miraculous way before God. You couldn't do anything coherently before, but now all of a sudden you can glorify God. But these people that he brought out, most of them, it took great miracles and signs and wonders because these were idolaters. They didn't save them before they brought them out of Egypt. They just brought them out.
Yes.
It was an emergency session.
Yes, yes.
Get them out now.
Yes.
And we'll work with them in the wilderness and save as many of them as we can and try to get them to the promised land. So they had a lot to do.
Yes.
So he moved by great signs and wonders in a great way because of what he had to do. All of us who've been around now 25, 30 years, we take miracles but for us it takes some prayer and some fasting and some consecration and some dedication because we're supposed to know God. And when we're asking God to move for us, it is not for us supposed to be a matter of a challenge of our faith. We have faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Ananias, Azariah, and Michael. If he brings us out, good. If he doesn't, we still won't serve any other God. This is the faith we're supposed to have. If he delivers us, good. If he doesn't, we can't leave God. We must leave God because if this doesn't turn out right and I'm feeling bad, nobody's going to be able to comfort me but God. And the worst thing I need is to have the world disappoint me and not have God. I mean, really, the worst, you know, there's nothing...
No.
What? How bad is that? You're already down and you don't have God either?
Yes, yes.
My Lord. So then when they brought all these people out and got them in the wilderness, it took the great power of God just to keep them in bounds and to keep them from killing one another. They had to have a law just to keep them from killing one another and from, and from committing adultery from one side of Israel to the to the other. It took everything they could do. You know, it took everything Moses could do to hold them in line and keep them in check. And the Holy Ghost had to move constantly. And some things of the Holy Spirit and some miracles were done every day. One of them was manna. Another one was the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It was done every day for the whole 40 years they were in the wilderness. And the manna never stopped. And the cloud never left them. And then periodically, things would happen. They get down anyway, and then they fall from grace, and they do things and go into fornication and do these things. And then a great miracle would come, like the brass serpent, and whoever would look up would live. Have I lost everybody all of a sudden?
No.
What are you moving for?
Because he needs to be muted.
And if they would look up, they would live, and it went on. And one time Aaron had to run in among the crowd with incense, which represented the prayers. So they saw miracles all the time.
Yes.
They had to.
Yes.
Now, you and I, we need miracles. I need miracles. But you know what? I'm not supposed to have to look out here and see a pillar of cloud by a fire every day.
Yes.
In order to live, because I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, which Moses had.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to lean and depend on God no matter what. And at this point, that's where I am, and that's what we're supposed to have. But when we have people come into our churches, We can't make them, you know, we didn't get where we are overnight. We can't make them be there overnight.
Yeah.
Some of them will be dreamers. I'm not against people having dreams. I believe God gives men and women dreams. But I believe that if you're someone that God has given a dream to, if you're so spiritual when you sleep, you certainly ought to be very spiritual when you're awake.
Yeah.
And if you're someone that God trusted, if you're not sober and you're not watching and you're not a spiritual light when you're awake, how do you expect us to trust your dream?
Yeah, you're right.
So, but I've learned my lesson. If you come in here and you say you're a dreamer, I'm gonna leave you being a dreamer until you figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna preach Christ and Him crucified until you do, and I'm just gonna trust that everybody who's got enough Holy Ghost is going to say, you know, when you tell them your dream, they're just gonna say, well, praise the Lord, and keep on pressing.
Yeah.
Until you grow to a point where you find out, not necessarily that God doesn't give dreams and visions, but were you able to discern that my dreams are from pizza and not God?
Yes.
But and then if grow to a point where your dreams really are coming from God, I'll take that too.
Yeah.
We'll have that too.
Yes.
Fast and pray and grow to a point where you really are getting visions and signs and wonders, and the church can use that too. Just let it be from God.
Yes.
But I've learned my lesson about trying to shoot down everything that everybody's doing, unless they just like CLGI, we shoot it down. We don't like the way they pray. We don't like the way they sing. We don't like the songs they sing. Is that song to God? Somebody leaned over to me one time and said the song, what's the song? Falling in Love with Jesus. And the name of it, do you fall in love with Jesus? Of course you do.
Yes.
That's another place where we have to, at the time though, I didn't think so. But that's another place where we have to make some, I'm not saying that everything in today's music is great. But we're gonna have to come up to date in music.
Yeah.
We might not ever sing it and have an on praise life, but you have to acquiesce to the point of saying, well, I probably wouldn't sing that song in church, but it is to God, and in today's time it works for them, and the gospel is going forth. It's like Paul said about why people preach and how they preach. We gotta come to that.
Yeah.
We can't. You know, I love all the hymns and things we sing, and I think hymns are timeless, and everybody I know sings them. Donnie McClurkin goes back to hymns from time to time and whatever. But you know what? We gotta come to a point where we can get along with Tasha Cobb, and I like her music, and get along, you know, with Todd Tribbett and some of them. I know some of his stuff is wild, but you know, you're gonna have people that when they come in, when you tell them that you know you don't like any music by Tasha Cobb, I mean by Todd Tribbett, you just lost them.
Yeah, that's
you
could
have left them with their music and their CDs, and maybe you would have even learned to love some of them.
Yeah.
And if not, don't let that be a point of contention where they no longer want to hear you preach.
Yeah, that's right.
When they walk in and they're talking about Fred Hammond, I remember I used to run Fred Hammond in the ground. Now and then I started liking Fred Hammond, and every time you got in my car, I was playing Fred Hammond.
Yeah.
We got to be honest about it.
That's right.
And go on in God. I mean, you know, I would, you know, the people who grew up in the 30s and 40s love Bessie Smith. I would pay you to take Bessie Smith's records out of my house. but it depends on the time that you live in.
Yes,
you know what you like.
You know, to be honest with you, I think Mahalia Jackson was a great singer, but you know what? She's not somebody I want to ride down the road listening to all day long.
I do.
And I think she's a great singer, but I'm gonna be honest.
Yes.
There are a whole lot of people I don't ride down the road listening to.
Yeah,
and now let me get back to the Bible. Let's see. And he said to them, thou shalt not bow unto their gods, and he gives them all this over again. But let me cut to the chase, as they say. And he tells them 25. And you shall not serve, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and you shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. This is what I was loving Tuesday night, because I was trying to encourage Sean and everybody who was waiting for a blessing from God.
Yeah.
You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread, which means your sustenance, your maintenance, how you eat, how you live, you know, and thy water, the things that you need in life, the basics God's going to bless. I must have a house. I must have food in my house. These days, I need a car. I have to have a job, because ever since, you know, Adam really goofed it up in the Garden of Eden, now we all have to work. All these things we have in today. And when he says, thy bread, thy water, this is what he's referring to. Everything that I need to eat. I must have health care. I must have all these, everything to sustain me. I must have. Bread and water represents those. You could say bread and water also represents Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I would go along, but in this particular case, he's talking about sustenance and life here on earth.
Yes.
And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. In other words, he's saying, as long as you live, surely his goodness and mercy last forever. David says, I will announce the Lord forever. His goodness and mercy last forever. All your days, he will keep this going. God won't bless you once and leave you. He'll keep doing this as long as you serve God and stay with God. God will bless you and you will be all right. You know, it's something that you have to learn over time as you grow in faith. But the worst thing anybody can do is when they're down is contemplate leaving God, because that's the very first time the devil jumps up and says, why don't you do something else?
Yes.
When I'm down is when I need God most.
Yes.
It's when my faith is at the lowest level and I'm disappointed and the bottom dropped out. That's not a time to, you know, I'm like Job. You know, and Job's wife says to him, she says to him, well, why don't you just forget about Job? Job says, now's not the time to forget about God.
Yeah.
Now's the time to really have God.
God. Yes. Yeah, because you need something.
This is when I'm really going through. So he says to him, I'm going to fulfill this all your years. And he says in this, and when he says there's nothing cast out your young or be buried in the land, in those days children were a blessing. I'm not sure they are anymore, but in those days children were a blessing, and they were a lot of their prominence and esteem depended on their children, and because they had to work the land, they were an agrarian society. They were farmers and whatever, and lived off the land and shepherds and all those. They had to have, even in my great grandparents' day, they had big families because somebody had to work the farm. They were producing laborers. And so he was saying to them, not only among their children, but among their cattle and among all they had, they would not be barren. And they wouldn't, you know, among their orchards or whatever they were having, they would have success. In today's time, we don't raise cows. So what is going to be fruitful to you? Your job. And what is going to work out for you? The things that you've invested into and the way you build your life. Because we don't live in an agrarian society. We live in a modern society where those things, unless you happen to be a farmer or a rancher. And even still, it talks about your job and how you get along. So he's saying to the people who are in God, you'll have success in what you do.
Yes.
It's like Proverbs, commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall establish thy going. You know, you have to, and he says in another place, and I will send fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs to you, and I will send harness before thee, and shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hivite from before thee, and the Hittite before thee. Now, this is where I'm going to stop. For right here for a moment. Everybody look up. He says to them, and when people come in, they'll fear it. They're going to fear you. I'm going to, because the power of God's going to be there.
Yeah.
When people come in our churches, evil spirits are supposed to have fear. Because the power of God is here. They're supposed to back up at the door. Because the power of God is here. And he says in this, and I'm going to send hornets among them to drive all those out. We have the responsibility by the power of God to pray and fast, the Spirit moves, so that when people come, see, here's my failing and my falling in the past. I'm trying to drive out the darkness in your mind.
Right, yes.
I'm trying to apply this Pentecostal law to you and drive out the darkness in your mind. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
No, he says, I'm going to send, when he talks about the harness and those things to drive out all these enemies, he's going to discomfort them so that they leave. I need God to discomfort the evil spirits, and I need God to discomfort and change those notions. I need God to move so you're no longer comfortable with the things that you think. I need God to move so that Once upon a time, you thought you had all this great wisdom and knowledge. I need God to move so you're no longer comfortable with it, so that you're ready to accept the word of God and reach out and find out what's there. I need God to move. Yeah. God was going to discomfort their enemies, and God was going to clear the land for them. I need God to do it.
Yes.
We like to get up and say, I'm saying this, I ain't apologizing for it. You're not only making them uncomfortable, you're making us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's not only them not coming back, it's making us want to leave too.
Me too, yeah. Yes.
Do you know, Chandra said one time, we were someplace, she said, I wish I was sitting there wishing I was a child so I could go to sleep. so many times, I've been in service and I said to myself, if I wasn't sitting in this pulpit, and I don't care who you tell on this one, because, these folks been around forever. There have been so many times that if it wasn't, but I was reared too well. Not only in natural life, in church life, I was brought up too well, and I don't believe in being rude or not having manners. And for the sake of they would be rude. And besides all that, I knew that some nights if I got up and walked out, I would start a landslide because a few other people would get up and
walk out too. Yeah.
And I was not gonna be responsible for that. But I tell you. Well, if I've already felt that way myself, shouldn't I think that people sitting out there feel that way too?
Yes.
They won't walk out on you, but they do say, I tell you what, when I get out that door, I won't be back.
Yes, right.
So I found out, and this is it, 29. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. In other words, he says, there's some other things, that are going on here that are in the works. And he says, I can't drive everybody out at one time, he says, because even though they have some things going on with them that are contrary to me, they're also doing some things that I need. They're keeping the beast of the field and all those things away. Yeah. You can't do it all by yourself. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. And he says to them, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And this is the point, Elder Smith. Last scripture of the day. That was it. I'm finding out that when people come in and they have all these things going on, we just need to preach the gospel and let the gospel just drive out little by little.
Yes, line by
and
line.
And not go all on the attack.
Yes.
You got to straighten that out.
Yes.
You got to stop that. Little by little. They testify for 1 hour, we take it, and then we just kind of let the word of God work. Little by little. And when they do strange things, we just let the word of God work. Little by little. And not just jump up down and say, oh, I can't deal with it. I got to straighten that out right now. Little by little.
Yes.
Until we get the increase.
Yes.
And we inherit the land. Right. What land? Right. This land, this audience here in Proverbs. No, that land out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That land out there.
Yeah, yes.
Until it gets to a point where we're alight in that land out there.
Yes.
And people out there are coming in here. Yes. Because they're coming to God little by little. And my mama's praying for me. I'm going to leave you with that. Because she very well might be praying in heaven. My grandmother, I'm going to leave you with that. Because another reason why I'm going to leave you with that? Because you can believe that and still be saved.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. You can believe that and still. My grandmother praying. I can be saved. Believe my grandmother praying. Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. You might not be the most spiritual person in the world, but that doesn't stop you from believing that Jesus Christ died and was buried and resurrected for you. And it's not contrary to Scripture any places. I've never read any place in Scripture where it says they weren't.
Yeah.
So then you can go ahead and believe that if you want to. And I really like Juanita Bynum. Fine. Some of her words come from whatever she speaks out of the Word of God. Will be like Paul. We're preaching for the people are preaching for a lot of different reasons, but as long as they're still preaching the same gospel, press on. Yeah. Used to be I'd set out to just tear that down. Can't be listening to nobody else but us. Not going to do that ever again.
Yeah.
As long as they'll come in here and listen to the word of God, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended, sent us the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to, I mean, what I'm going to really preach is, wherefore put away malice. You can keep, well, I need to buy them, get rid of the malice.
Yes, yes.
I kind of like T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes is, he's an apostolic. He ain't saved. I ain't dealing with all that. Y'all worry about that. T.D. Jakes has said a lot of great things. And I'm not going there. And so what you're trying to say, I'm not trying to say anything. I'm saying I'm going to leave people alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when they come in promise, I'm going to give them the gospel because they came in promise. And wherever else it is, I'll leave it to them to do just like me. Eventually, as the Holy Ghost comes in, it's not just other people with things that they've dropped. There's things about themselves. I would rather you keep T.D. Jakes if you just lose your temper. You probably go to heaven faster believing that T.D. Jakes is a man of God and you can't love and money.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of things. As long as they can be filled with the Holy Ghost and go on, I give them time. You know why? Because God gave me time.
Yes.
Little by little, we've got to a point where we think too much of ourselves.
Yes.
We think of ourselves more highly than we are.
Yes.
All of a sudden, we've become the high judge and conqueror. You know, the high judge and prosecutor of everybody. You know, we want to shave off everything everybody's got. The moment they walk in, and you know, if you're not walking just like us, you can't possibly be saved. You can be saved with a whole lot of stuff. I know that because we have people in the Church of Living God saved. They got a whole lot of stuff.
Yes, yes.
There's a whole lot. You know, there's a long ways between grace and mercy where people are saved, and you still got a lot about it. You say, well, I ain't got nothing about me. Then let's see your miracles.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
So I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank the Lord for moving for Minister Smith. I thank the Lord for moving for Ella Jenkins today. That's a little, Ella Jenkins got a nice size fist of a cloud as far as I'm concerned, because it looks like she's about ready to, things are really brightening up. I just thank God for, but I'm not gonna stop praying. Chandra's got look like she's up and running. I'm not gonna stop praying for that either until she gets her first paycheck. And many other things. Ella Smith's on the mend, and I'm praying now for T'Angela and many other people, and I'm praying for promise. But most of all, God is really working some things out of me and in me. And one of them is like he told Peter, in case y'all in Ella Latham, I don't know why, is Ella Latham up here someplace?
Yeah,
I don't know why you came to my mind as soon as you said it. But you know what the Lord told Peter when he got ready to go to Cornelius? He said, call not that unclean. How does he say it? Yeah, and he wasn't referring to food. He was referring to people.
Yeah.
And because the Jews wouldn't go in among them because they said they were unclean.
Yes.
And the Lord showed Peter that. And in 9, or is it 10? Yeah, it's 10. 15, and the voice spake unto them again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. What God has cleansed, call not thou common. And he wasn't referring to the food, he was referring to Cornelius. And Peter was wondering whether he should go in, because the Jews, when he comes back, they accuse him of going into men who were uncircumcised.
Yeah.
But God had told Peter, he says, and it's in Acts 10, chapter 15, verse. And the voice spake unto them again the second time, what God had cleansed, that call not common. And Peter told him, I don't go into these people because they're unclean. The Lord said, and then you know what it is? A lot of people God has cleaned up, and we're still calling them common.
Yeah.
Because they're not us.
Yes.
We call them common because they have different music.
Music, yeah.
We call them common because dare I go there? Shall I go there? We call them common because they have praise dances.
Yeah.
We call them common because of this, and we call them common because of that. Hey, it's not going to stop us from dancing in the Lord. It's not going to stop us from where we praise do anything else. But my goodness, if you come up in the church where that is, and you've learned how to be saved, to live holy, or whatever, what else can we expect?
Yes.
We want everything to be common other than what we have. We're going to have to grow out of that, because when people come, you don't necessarily have to allow it in your church, but you can't just look at them and say, that's the world. Mm-hmm. then if that's the case, we can look at the, at your suits, look at the car you drive, look at your hairdo, look at this and all, and say, that's the world. Call that not common unclean, he says to Peter, because Peter has just said up here in the 14th verse, and Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, thou call not uncommon. And this he did, and then he ends up going on with God. Listen, as these churches are filling up, little by little, what we have to do is make sure we're strong in Christ.
Yes.
Strong in the Holy Ghost. Strong in spirit. Strong, you know, strong in what we, you know, and not just good teachers of it, but it has to be us.
Yes.
It's got to be us. It's got to be not just something we say. It's got to be us. Otherwise, your light doesn't shine. You've got all the right words. You're a very good flashlight, but your batteries are dead. No light.
Yeah.
You gotta, you look good and everything, but you know, you know, when you hit the switch, you know, nothing comes on, and you look like all the rest of the flashlights until we decide we're gonna flip them on.
Oh, yes.
So then, you know, it's like as people come little by little.
Yes.
No hurry. That's why I was encouraging Ella T'Angelo, Ella Paulette, and all those who can't do other things. Hey, just try and see if you can get one person. Hey, how about us studying the Bible for 30 minutes next week? And you don't even have to come to your house. You can do it. You know, these days, I'm not big about doing things over the telephone, although a lot of people do. But the telephone really is kind of antiquated, since you can FaceTime, you can Facebook, you can do all those things.
Yeah.
And when you're studying, it's good to be able to look at each other.
Yeah.
And even though you're in different places, this is the reason why I choose Skype. This is the reason why I choose Zoom, and I'm not knocking it over live stream. Because I like to
interact.
What I do on Zoom, I can't say. When I do the other ones, you can't say to the people, "Do you hear me?" And watch them wave their hands and do all that. But I can do it. We can do it, and I love it. If you could start a Bible study, you know, with somebody like this for 30 minutes, 15 minutes, come up, do an impromptu. You know, I was reading my Bible, but the Lord said, "Call you." Hey, have you seen this scripture? There's so much we can do.
Yes.
If we will, you know, if we will break that Mosaic law that we're under.
Yes.
You know, and it's not point to any person. It's but we have built ourselves into much of the same thing.
Yeah.
And we have to break out at some point in time. So I thank God today for His goodness and mercy. I thank God for all of you. I really praise God for having you coming up. And for everybody who's up tonight, let me see where I have. Yeah, I thank God for you. Good to see Erica, my little daughter. Good to see India and all of them. Good to see Mother Wearing Sonia up tonight. Yuri's up. Gamble family, they're not here tonight. They're tuning in. And I thank God for all of you. You know, the Lord, you know, and I'll say this, and then if you, you know, I bet you if I look at this screen, we have gone through, dare I say, Trump. We've gone through pandemic, and Trump was worse. We've gone through all the things we've done in the last year, and on this screen that I'm looking at, there's not a person I'm looking at who wasn't blessed.
Yes.
There's not a person I'm looking at. I'm not looking at anybody up here who lost their job. I'm not looking at anybody here who was sick with COVID, because we knew better than to go places where COVID was too.
Yes.
That, you know, that has something to do with it.
Yes.
But that's God. And when it really comes down to it, if we're not careful and you really be honest, you might be like me and Ellen Smith and say, in this last year, it's unfortunate for all the people who've lost jobs and done a lot of things. And you all, but you have to glorify God when you really think about it. But actually, for us, we actually abounded.
Right, everybody up there got a salary.
You know, to be honest with you, last year I wish everybody loved God like us, because what we last year we went through, we really not only did we not lose by the, and I'm glorifying God, not me, because we didn't do anything different. It was God.
Yes, yes.
Paula went through all her surgeries and all these things she went through, and we just, you know, things just worked out one thing after another, one thing after another. And, you know, among us, it was God. It's the glory of God. We need to sanctify the God of heaven, glorify the God of heaven.
Yes.
Praise His holy name.
Yes.
These are the things that we need to say to people when they come to our churches. In this church, we're blessed.
Yes, yes.
And it's not because we have some formula, name and claim it, this or whatever. And that's another thing. If you're a person that name and claim it, just keep on doing that. I ain't gonna mess with you. Name and claim all you want. And every time you get up and tell us how God blessed you by doing that, I'm gonna glorify God too.
Yeah.
If it worked out for you like that, go ahead. I feel no. If that works for you, that's how you. Fine.
Right, as long as you're not in sin, that's right.
But what you need to do is, what we need to make sure is that you know Jesus Christ is the Savior.
Yes.
We need to make sure that you have repented and been born again.
Yes.
We on that we can't compromise, but on all the other things and whatever, in time, little by little. Because I will say this, and I'll finish. And Elder Russell will agree with me, Elder Smith. You know what else we have seen, Elder Smith, Elder Russell, Elder Latham too? We've seen people in our churches that have come in that we have done a fast track to spirituality.
Mm.
And they spill off into the atmosphere,
yes.
into the cosmos someplace.
Yes, yes.
They either get overwhelmed and decide that they know more than everybody there and they leave. Or they all of a sudden, when the presence of the Lord, because we've done that fast track them, and they thought that they had so much so quick. When calamity did come, they did not survive.
Yeah, that's right.
This is like he tells Israel. He says, if I move these people out of land too quick, the bears will come in, and the lions will come in.
Yeah.
No, we have to leave you. Everything that we take, everything that the people need to lose has to be replaced with light.
Yeah.
Everything that God wants to do something different with, the Spirit has His time.
Yeah.
He knows when they should go from step to step. And this is what we want to walk. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Thank God for all of you tonight. Pray to lead anybody off. And if you have a question in the scriptures that I preach and teach, please give me a call. I have no problem. I mean, even less than that, you know, we can talk about it. Because I try to be careful to make sure that whatever I preach and teach, you know, I know where it is and what it's saying in context and by the Spirit. Saints of God, you have to pray for the Holy Spirit's revelation in the Word of God. You have to pray for the Holy Spirit's interpretation in the Word of God. And you have to pray for the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is getting to know the person Jesus Christ and getting to know why He came, what He came, and all that. When you do those things, God will begin to show you in the Word of God. God shows you in the Word of God how it goes. And this is when I use the phrase all the time, in the word literally just jumps off the page. And you start to understand. You get to a point after a while where you know you can't start in the middle of any scripture and consider and be sure exactly what it's saying. Even the Holy Spirit is like this. If you read a scripture and get revelation of it, the Holy Spirit gives you references.
Yes.
Okay. And takes you to other places where it is. He will show you how to verify it so it is not a standalone scripture, but he makes sure that you have it like it's supposed to be, so you don't get up in front of people and preach something that's not God. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We do thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the people, God, every one of them. For Lord, we are not our own, but Lord, we belong to you. Lord, these people, Lord, who listen to me from time to time, they are not mine, they are yours.
Yes.
And Lord, you said in your word in one place that your word would not come back to you void. And Lord, when you said that, you weren't referring to just what we read and what we see. You were referring to the words that we speak when you're speaking to us. And Lord, tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, that I've only given words that you've spoken unto me because those words bear fruit. And Lord, I pray, Lord, I've spoken them according to not only what you have said, but according to the Holy Spirit, how he would lead and guide them. Lord, we need to be led and we need to be guided. Lord, let me say unto you like Moses, Lord, what will we do if you don't go before us? Lord, I pray, go before us and lead us in the way and keep us, O God. Keep us by your word and by the power of God, by your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll lead us and guide us, Lord, for all the days of our lives.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for every prayer you've answered, oh, Lord, in the last week, in the last month, in the last year. Lord, we glorify your name. Father, we glorify your name. Lord, glory, 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 glory unto you, O God. Lord, you're a good God and a mighty God and a merciful God. Lord, you're a great God. Lord, you sustain us, O God. Lord, we will not live if you do not keep us, O God. Lord, how shall we go, Lord, if you're not with us, O Lord? Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your many benefits. And thank you for your healing. Thank you for your washing and your cleansing. Thank you for your forgiving our sins. Thank you for life, O God. Lord, we thank you for everything. We thank you for breath, O God. We thank you, Lord, for sustaining us. Lord, we owe you our all, O God. Lord, we owe everything unto you, O God. Lord, we owe everything to you. Draw us nigh, O God. Lord, we worship you, O God. We love you and adore you, O God. Lord, we worship thy name. Bow before thee, O Lord, for you are a great God and a mighty God. Lord, there is no God like unto you, Lord. No power like unto your power, Lord. No deliverance like your deliverance. No, Lord, there is none other that is perfect in every way but thou, O God. Lord, and we worship your name. Lord, you are God, and we are but the dust, O Lord. Lord, yes. We need you in all that we do. With every breath we take, O God, Lord, we owe to you.
Yes.
Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise.
Yes.
Lord, we ask you to sustain us. We thank you so much for hearing our prayers.
Yes.
Lord, who is man that you should visit him? Lord, who are we that you should listen to us?
Yes.
Lord, what are we that you should be concerned about us, O God? But you hear our prayers. Lord, here we are, and you hear our prayers. Lord, you turn to us when we pray. God of all creation hears us when we pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you and we glorify your name. Lord, you listen to us. Oh, God. Lord, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for all the saints of God, wherever they are, and for everyone in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. And Lord, for everyone whose name is written on high, Lord, we glorify your name. Would not have been written there, Lord, except by your doing. And we give you glory and we give you honor. And Lord, we praise you so much for our names are among them, and we thank you, O God. Give you all the glory and all the honor in the name of thy precious Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, through the power of thy precious Holy Spirit, Lord, we stand before thee. In Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Thank God for everyone tonight. I thank God for your goodness, for God's goodness and his mercy. And I would ask everybody, I was talking to Bishop Lucky today.